producing over 500 hours per week of talk radio. GCN Live is a world leader in talk radio. Archives for the following program can be found at GCNLive.com.
The big banks, I mean, once we repealed Glass-Steagall back in the late 1999s, the big banks, the six of them, went from controlling with the equivalent of 15% of our GDP to now 65% of our GDP. And right before this debate, Secretary Clinton's campaign put out a lot of reversals on positions on Keystone and many other things. But one of them that we still have a great difference on, Madam Secretary, is that you are not for Glass-Steagall. You are not for putting a firewall between the speculative, risky shadow banking behavior. I am, and the people of our country need a president who's on their side, willing to protect the Main Street economy from recklessness on Wall Street. We have to fulfill our promise.
I have to let you respond.
Well, you know, everybody on this stage has changed a position or two. We've been around a cumulative quite some period of time. You know, we know that if you are learning, you're going to change your position. I never took a position on Keystone until I took a position on Keystone. But I have been on the forefront of dealing with climate change starting in 2009 when President Obama and I crashed a meeting with the Chinese and got them to sign up to the first international agreement to combat climate change that they'd ever joined. So
I'm not
taking a backseat to anybody on my values, my principles, and the results that I get.
Wow, Hillary Clinton, she wasn't taking a backseat on any of those things that were just mentioned, as you heard there. There's no doubt she was pretty confident in the debate, whether you don't like Hillary Clinton or not. If you look at debate winners and losers, she definitely was a winner from that point of view, but that's not a surprise because she's a career politician. So it's not like in the Republicans' debate where you had the kids' table and you had the main stage. And here we begin this hour of America Tonight, talking about Las Vegas and the candidates. Coming up a little bit later in the show, we'll go live to Las Vegas to get an insider's view of what it was like. Justin Duckham was there for Talk Radio News, and he's gracious enough to call us. You know, there was over 500 reporters that covered that debate. You know, and he was one of them. And so Clinton certainly was the one who had to defend things like changing stances. So whether it's the Pacific, as you heard there, whether it's the Pacific Rim trade deals, same-sex marriage, you know, whatever, she said, "I'm a progressive, but I'm a progressive who likes to get things done." That was one of the comments that she made while she was on stage. And she tested Bernie Sanders over his shifting stance on gun control. And Sanders seemed a little bit flustered. That was his one moment when she asked Sanders whether Sanders is tough enough on guns. So, you know, there were certainly some bigger moments. There's no question, I think, when you look at this debate, that Martin O'Malley and everybody else on the stage, but Martin O'Malley certainly needs to have a huge breakout kind of performance, and that didn't happen. He didn't have a brutal night, but he didn't have a great night. And then Jim Webb, how many people are aware of Jim Webb? If you remember, a few years ago, everybody was talking about him, and he didn't have much time. He didn't get many questions. He stumbled and to kind of the opening statement, went through the names of his daughters and that kind of stuff, which was good. Everybody talks about their family. It wasn't bad that he talked about his family, but he seemed like he was kind of stumbling around a little bit. Lincoln Chafee absolutely had some brutal moments on the stage. He didn't make any kind of a lasting impression, that's for sure. The Republican turned independent, turned Democrat, said he's a block of granite when it comes to issues, but when he was pressed over his vote to repeal the Glass-Steagall Act, he gave a response that said, I just arrived in the Senate. And that did not work. That's just not a good answer. I just arrived in the Senate. My father had died and whatnot. So he was a little, I don't know if flustered is the right word. It just didn't, that answer just wasn't a good answer. Because horrible things happen to people every single day, but he has had a major vote on a major issue, which, of course, when you look at what's now happened to so many people as a result of the Wall Street bailouts, the banks too big to fail, all that stuff, when you even talk about it, people, it's like flames shoot out of people's heads. And that was a big thing, regulating Wall Street regulating Congress. You know, Sanders said Congress doesn't regulate Wall Street. Wall Street regulates Congress. There was a moment where Bernie Sanders said Americans are sick of hearing about Clinton's damn emails. You're going to hear that a little bit later this hour. And that was kind of a pretty wild turn, let's put it that way. I mentioned this before, but I'll be curious, and we'll be talking about it on our next show for sure when they have all the ratings in. I'm just going to be curious kind of with the five Democrats versus all the Republicans on the stage and whatnot, what kind of ratings CNN draws from this debate, whether it's a, you know, whether it's a ratings bonanza or not. I'm curious because of how many people might be curious to see what's happening on the other side, or perhaps are rooting for somebody on the Democratic side. We'll see. What's happening with the Republicans has been interesting because Ben Carson, you want to talk about soft-spoken. It's funny that Donald Trump goes after Jeb Bush, especially as being low energy. But Carson is the guy, in a soft-spoken way, who seems to be giving Trump a run for the money. And in the latest Fox poll, he came up pretty big. So Trump still is the guy. He still is the one that's pulling down the biggest percentage. But check this out. Trump is at the top with 24%. Ben Carson, and this is just one poll, Ben Carson is at 23%. Ted Cruz is third at 10. And then you go from there, where Marco Rubio has 9, Jeb Bush has 8, and so on and so forth. But still, everybody's sticking strong. And, you know, we have seen some dramatic finishes, and we've seen some switches in campaigns, too, that have happened, boom, when you least expected it. So it's not to say, as we turn the page in the next couple of months, that we don't see some sort of a dramatic switch. It just seems unlikely, but it's not impossible. It's not impossible. I think who's ever at the top of the polls is going to hang in unless they have a sudden change of heart. I'll tell you what would be the biggest. Right now, if this were to happen, the biggest shockwave that would go off would be if Donald Trump all of a sudden said, you know what, I'm not gonna run anymore. It's been great, it's been a fun ride, and I appreciate all the support. But if he suddenly dumped out, that would be the biggest news, I think, of all of this. Even more than will Joe Biden step in. The conversation constantly. Joe Biden, he was watching the debate tonight. Of course he was watching the debate. Because he might be part of the process, but even if not, he's a Democrat. These are his peeps. This is a big deal. He'll be at the convention. You know he's going to be watching. Stay with us. Big moments around the bend.
There's a man named Dr. Joel Wallach who is anything but your typical doctor, both a veterinarian and naturopathic physician. Doc asks, why does the United States spend more money on health care by far and still rank 50th in health and longevity worldwide? He believes that people should empower themselves with a basic understanding of nutrition, take charge of their health, and attain optimal health and longevity through nutrition, not by toxic prescription drugs that lead to side effects and more toxic prescription drugs. drugs. Doc Wallach's message is resonating with an increasing number of Americans who are waking up to all the big government, big pharma, and big insurance manipulation of our healthcare system. I'm George Norrie, and I like what Doc Wallach is saying and doing to enlighten people about healthcare. Visit brightsidebend.com and listen to Doc Wallach's Deadly Recipes lecture. It makes a lot of sense, and I urge you to join the Brightside Bend team. Go to brightsidebend.com. That's brightsidebend.com.
Virtually anyone can hack your cell phone and track your calls, your texts, your emails, your every movement, but only if they can detect a signal. Stay one step ahead of hackers and Big Brother with a Blockit Pocket, a custom-made pocket infused with pure silver that creates a complete Faraday enclosure for your cell phone. For free shipping to the Lower 48, visit BlockitPocket.com or call 888-315-9618. BlockitPocket.com. Enhancing health and privacy.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. Not too long ago, a friend of mine, Michael Zwirling, introduced me to Alex Jones, hoping he could help me with my health crusade. I must say that I'm beyond impressed that Alex Jones has become my hero. Just in case the secret hasn't gotten out yet, I want to tell you that millions of people are listening, and Alex is one of the most powerful driving forces in radio to date. We need everyone to go to InfoWarsTeam.com and join our effort to get this world healthy again. The InfoWar cannot be won with sick ground soldiers deprived of the basic 90 essential nutrients. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com and find out what the entire buzz is about. We can no longer rely on Big Brother for health care, so take action and go to InfoWarsTeam.com. Only you can take the steps to good health. Go to InfoWarsTeam.com today and prevent your family from getting sick and get them on the road to recovery. InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com. That's InfoWarsTeam.com.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Adam Pulaski of the Pulaski Law Firm with principal office in Houston, Texas, is the attorney responsible for the content of this ad. This ad is not legal advice, and the choice of a lawyer should not be based solely upon advertisement. Services may not be available in all states.
Attention Xarelto users. If you or a loved one took Xarelto and suffered a serious bleeding event, you may be entitled to financial compensation. Xarelto is a popular prescription blood thinner used to prevent blood clots and protect patients from strokes. These serious bleeding events have led to numerous cases of hospitalization and even death. Phone lines are open 24-7. Call 800-261-0937. That's 800-261-0937.
The day there were a few, needless to say, besides what happened at the debate, there were some other things that went on. It seems like all the focus is there, but of course it is. It's the first of only six for the Democrats. We care about this because who knows what's going to happen when it's all said and done. Once we swing into the new year, 2016, all bets are off, and you know how time is. It races, doesn't it? It flies. Except for when you're a kid and you're bored, you say to your mother, Mom, I'm so, what do I do? I used to say that to my mom, and she'd say, you wait till you're older. She was right. Then you're going to want to go backwards. That's what happens. There is no going backwards, though, when it comes to whatever you say, it's out there. Because now we live in a world where everything is recorded. Instagrammed, tweeted, Snapchatted, although that disappears. It's put out there for the world to see. So any little piece, any morsel of what happened in the debate will absolutely be floating around. We all know that. Some other things that happened, though, that I want to mention. This is just a creepy story and depressing, but I'm going to mention it because it's the world we live in, right? Creepy, sad things happen. This was shocking to me, and because it happened in Texas and not ridiculously far from where I lived, everybody was talking about it. So I always say America Tonight's like the buzz in your backyard, and a lot of us have the same buzz in the backyard. That would be the Democratic debate. That would be when Mother Nature slams us and we just are in shock and awe of the people in South Carolina and how they're dealing with what they have to deal with over the last week of flooding. But a former Texas A&M wide receiver is going to be charged with murder. And check this out. He randomly hacked a jogger to death in a Dallas park, a very popular trail that many of us have been on called White Rock Creek Trail. Thomas Johnson admitted to killing the jogger with a large edged weapon in a random act of rage. Just this guy's 21. He was arrested, but check this out. He called 911 from an equestrian center where he was. I know exactly where it is. He's being held without bond, and he wasn't carrying identification, any of that kind of stuff. The guy who was jogging, just a guy in his late 20s or 30s. Johnson played for the Aggies in 2012. He had a bunch of catches in a big win over Alabama. So he, whatever happened, whatever happens in this situation, I mean, we know because he confessed to it, but in the past year, he'd been arrested on charges of evading arrest, burglary of a habitation, auto theft, so all kinds of crazy things are happening with him. But how awful that this random guy is jogging and he happens to be there at the wrong time and is grabbed by this former receiver who looks like any guy you would see in any coffee shop, looks like just a normal guy. So we move to this story that is a cockamamie story. How about this story of an aunt? I think of how close I am to my nephew. An aunt loses a $127,000 lawsuit against her 8-year-old nephew who jumped into her arms. So this aunt sued her 8-year-old nephew for doing that at a party, causing her to fall and break her wrist. This happened in Connecticut. It took them only 25 minutes to deliberate Jennifer Connell's suit against Sean Tarla, who is now 12, ruling in the boy's favor. Can you imagine money being wasted over the lawyers for this? What happened was she blamed the nephew for causing that injury while going to his birthday party in Connecticut. She said she loves the very loving, sensitive boy, but thought he should be held accountable. Oh, are you kidding? Is this called a frivolous lawsuit? Her description of what happened was, all of a sudden he was there in the air. I had to catch him. We tumbled onto the ground. I remember him shouting, Annie, Jen, I love you. And there he was flying at me. Oh, what a rough life, lady. You have to be kidding me. I mean, initially, when I got this link, I thought it was a joke. No. It wasn't a joke. It was for real. That is a frivolous lawsuit. It's ridiculous. And now think of that relationship between those two. Can't be good. He's 12 now. That happened in 2011. And so that's typical of lawsuits dragging on and on and on. I mean, wow. Also, here's the bright moment of the day. I want to give the daily salute, the shout-out, the whatever, to the boys at Wrigley, because for the first time ever in their 100-year history at home, they clinched something. Check it out.
Emil, not a bad hitter. Drove in 4 runs in the year. He hits a ground ball in the center field, a base hit. Rounding third, Castro heading home. He scores! Stopping at second is Schwarber. One scoring single, Jason Hamill. Cubs are back in the game. The Cardinal lead is 2-1.
One way to help yourself.
Baez starting in place of the injured Addison Russell. Cardinals lead is 2-1. Here's a swing of fly ball to deep right field. It's got a chance. Gone! Peralta can get a gigantic lead at third. He's a third of the way down the line. The 0-1. Line drive, base hit to right. The game is tied. Rounding third is Cruz. The throw by Stoller to the plate. The tag, the slide. He's out. He's out. Great throw by Soler. The Cardinals might delay and request a second look on the video. One hop strike by Soler to the plate. Haven't seen a replay yet. The game is tied. Two strikes on Rizzo. Tie game, sixth inning. And the strike two pitch. Rizzo drives one in the air. Right field. It's got a chance. Gone. Anthony Rizzo with a home run. Cubs lead 5-4. And now the 1-1. Swung on. Hit the air. Deep right field. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. Kyle Schwarber just hit one onto Sheffield Avenue. If you feel like you can't sit still, you are not alone. You got lots of company. And the 0-1. Piscotty swings and misses. It's 0-2. I wish all of you could be right here at this moment. Unbelievable atmosphere. And the 0-2. Swing and a miss. Cubs win. Cubs win. Breaking ball got him. The Cubs with a massive celebration right near home plate. The Cubs are in the National League Championship Series. Rondon strikes out Stephen Piscotty to end it. All 25 Cubs. Some with their blue jackets on, some with just the uniform top. They are celebrating right near the mound. Bear hugs, high fives, handshakes, big smiles. And the fans roaring their approval. This is one of the greatest moments I've seen in 20 years as a Cubs broadcaster, Ron, to beat the St. Louis Cardinals in a postseason series and have the clinching game take place here at magnificent and famous Wrigley Field. It's almost beyond belief.
Ah, beautiful. So thanks, Matty J, for that. The Cubs finally win the big one. Huge. Now they don't have to obsess about it anymore. Love it. Daily salute. Hats off, guys. Stay with us.
Situation be much better than today.
Hey, Berkey Guy here. Are you still drinking unfiltered tap water? Does your water contain chlorine or fluoride? Will you have drinkable water in an emergency? The Berkey Guy is here to help you remove these and other potential contaminants from your water, thus helping you drink clean, purified water. We offer Berkey water purification systems at the lowest available prices online. Don't go another moment without Berkey system. Over the last 10 years, we've helped thousands drink clean, purified water. Join them by visiting GoBerkey.com or call me, the Berkey Guy, at 877-886-3653. That's 877-886-3653.
My name is Dell, and I live in El Cajon, California. I was concerned about my cholesterol readings because I knew that high cholesterol is related to clogging of the arteries and increases the risk for heart attack and stroke. One day, I heard an ad for Heart and Body Extract, and I was skeptical, but I decided to give it a try. Man, the numbers don't lie.
Learn the secrets of an effective, natural, 100% organic nutritional supplement for a healthy heart and circulation at HBExtract.com.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Paid non-attorney spokesperson, Ricky LeBlanc, admitted in Mass only, Sokolov Law, LLC, Chestnut Hill, Mass. Ken Levin, responsible attorney in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. Greg Hobby, New Jersey. The choice of lawyer is an important decision that should not be based solely upon advertisements. While this firm maintains joint responsibility, most cases of this type refer to other attorneys for principal responsibility. If you know what mesothelioma is, you or someone you love has likely been impacted by this devastating cancer. You may be entitled to compensation. Call Sokolov Law today, 1-800-218-HELP. The only known cause of mesothelioma is asbestos exposure. exposure. Thousands of hardworking men and women, including many U.S. veterans and industrial workers, have been diagnosed with mesothelioma because manufacturers knew the dangers but put profits ahead of people. An estimated $30 billion in court-ordered trust has been set aside to pay money to asbestos victims. If you or a loved one has been diagnosed with mesothelioma, call now. You may be entitled to receive compensation without ever going to court or filing a lawsuit. Call for a free legal consultation at 1-800-218-HELP. That's 1-800-218-HELP.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number, 1-855-905-MYTV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Owe $10,000 or more to the IRS?
Get on board with the Tax Admiral! Don't take on the IRS alone! I'll cut penalties and reduce your overall tax bill sometimes! I can even get it zeroed out completely!
We're an A-rated company helping people clean up their mess with the IRS.
If you owe $10,000 or more, then call the Tax Admiral!
Call 800-287-7180. Again, that's 800-287-7180. 800-287-7180.
Let me say something that may not be great politics, but I think the secretary is right. And that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Me too. Me too.
You know, the middle class, Anderson, and let me say something about the media as well. I go around the country, talk to a whole lot of people. Middle class of this country is collapsing. We have 27 million people living in poverty. We have massive wealth and income inequality. Our trade policies have cost us millions of decent jobs. The American people want to know whether we're going to have a democracy or an oligarchy as a result of Citizens United. Enough of the emails. Let's talk about the real issues facing America.
Moment in the debate in Las Vegas, covering the debate, Justin Duckham, Talk Radio News. Justin, wow. There were a couple of explosive moments. That was one of them. And, of course, the group, the collectively, got up and there was a standing ovation. And that was certainly a big moment, maybe for Sanders and Clinton, I suppose. What was the debate like from your point of view in moments like that one?
Well, I think you make a very good point. That was one of the big takeaways from the debate. Of course, the email scandal was going to be something that was going to be an issue for Hillary Clinton, and I think Sanders actually gave her a huge favor by delivering that huge applause moment and really helped deliver that home. This was something that she was expected to have some kind of awkward moments trying to address. You know, there's an expectation that she would again have to apologize for it. but instead we had him really going on the offensive on that in Hillary Clinton's favor. So I think that was one of the key takeaways and a big sign that, you know, Sanders really is in this, not necessarily to tear down Clinton or to necessarily bash her message, but to shift the message to the left. And I think that was one of the other main takeaways of the evening. You know, we saw Democrats, you know, speaking about things that have not been mentioned in a lot of the debates that we saw in 2008, you know, ending student debt or trying to, you know, bring about a more progressive agenda and a variety of factors. And I think in terms of what Sanders was trying to accomplish, which was to bring the message to the left, he certainly achieved that.
So do you think, I've said this all along, to me it was kind of a split decision. If we're just looking from a debate point of view, I think Sanders and Clinton won the debate. Would you say that's fair, or do you think one was better than the other?
You know, I think that's very fair to say. I think a lot of Democrats, particularly those who have been, you know, really big supporters of Bernie Sanders, probably feel a little bit more comfortable about the notion of Hillary Clinton being probably the inevitable nominee, as a lot of people still are portraying her. I think Sanders absolutely stood his own. You know, he made a very compelling case for the agenda that he's putting forward. But I think Hillary Clinton probably emerged as the pretty clear winner. You know, she had a lot of big applause moments of the evening. She was a, you know, very likable, very articulate sort of candidate. You know, somebody who has obviously been in this situation before. And, you know, I think O'Malley did pretty, pretty decently as well. I don't think we were going to see much of a shift in him, but at least he got his, you know, time in the spotlight and didn't fall flat in his face. Something that cannot be said about Jim Webb and Lincoln Chafee, both of whom, you know, delivered pretty embarrassing performances. You know, Jim Webb, the main sense was that he was coming off as a bit of a whiner, despite being somebody who's known as being a pretty tough guy. And Lincoln Chafee absolutely fell flat in his face when it came to the, you know, Glass-Steagall issue, when he gave his excuse for why he voted in favor of that.
He sure did, and he just could not get out of that scenario. I think overall he seemed unprepared for the debate, or just isn't a good debater. I don't know. What do you think?
You know, actually, I spoke to him after the event in the spin room, and I asked him, you know, do you want to take a mulligan on that issue when it comes to Glass-Steagall, if you want to readdress that? He said that he did not, that that was simply the answer that he was going to be going with. You know, he had some time after the debate to try to, you know, come up with a, you know, more articulate response to that answer, something that he apparently did not, you know, choose to do. So I think it kind of reflects the fact that he probably isn't really prepared for this. You know, he's been somebody who has not really been on the campaign trail that often. You know, neither have Jim Webb. So they haven't really been dealing with a lot of these issues or been speaking to a lot of voters. And I think that absolutely came through tonight.
The overall, the crowd seemed electrified and filled with a lot of well-known personalities. Not that that's unusual, but am I right on that? From the Jesse Jacksons to obviously some of the known family members of some of the candidates, and I'll call them rock stars in the Democratic Party. Was it kind of that kind of affair?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty safe, you know, thing to say. You know, we also had Wayne Newton, who was in the audience. He ended up coming into the spin room briefly. So I got to see his, you know, hit him up close. It was kind of like looking at a wax sculpture, no offense to him. Actually, I guess it was kind of a mean thing to say. I apologize to any Wayne Newton fans you know out there. Yeah, as you mentioned, we had Jesse Jackson as well, who also came into the spin room. And his main takeaway from the evening was this was a situation where Hillary Clinton appeared head and shoulders above the rest, but he also, you know, echoed the sort of general consensus of the night that Sanders also had a pretty impressive performance. He said that he put the message out there very strongly and ended up getting his points across well. And this, of course, is somebody who has run for president in the past. So a pretty star-studded night. We also had Ed Schultz, you know, who was in the audience. And now that he's no longer with MSNBC, he's sort of free to make his own endorsement. And he actually came into the spin room as a surrogate for Bernie Sanders. So that was another, you know, familiar face sort of floating around here.
What did issues were concerned? Do you think most of the issues we thought were going to be addressed were addressed, from guns to a little bit about immigration and whatnot?
Yeah, I think we saw the issues that we were expecting to hear throughout the evening. I think this was something that a lot of Democrats cared about. You know, there was some, you know, sort of speculation that there'd be additional talk when it came to the Black Lives Matter movement. Instead, just sort of got a sort of token question on that the candidates fielded. And we also were probably expecting to see a little bit more about Planned Parenthood and sort of the abortion aspect of it. That was certainly addressed, but probably not as much as a lot of people were expecting, considering how big that's been in the news lately. But overall, the sort of progressive surrogates that I saw in the campaign room, I asked about the topics that were addressed and if they were satisfied, and the general consensus seems to be that they were relatively satiated with what was put forward this evening.
The overall, when you look at what we saw and what obviously you in covering it, do you think that this Democratic debate lived up to its billing? Because there was so much made about lack of having debates, and there was even a reference to the DNC chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz. They showed her even on camera. Do you think that this may lead to an extra debate or two, or nah, they got them planned, they got their six and that's it?
I don't think we're going to see additional debates coming out. We've seen the DNC kind of latch down against that sort of talk. One of the vice chairs of the DNC was actually barred from coming to the convention after voicing her support for additional debates. That was Tulsi Gabbard from Hawaii. So I don't necessarily see the appetite for additional debates coming out. I think if this was a situation where O'Malley had absolutely knocked it out of the park, we probably would have seen additional debates. O'Malley in particular has been one of the more vocal people calling for additional ones. And I don't necessarily think that there's going to be much of an appetite for more to be added on, even though there really is sort of a consensus in the Democratic Party that there should be more beyond the DNC. But from what we saw tonight, I think, we're not going to see, much more coming out.
How about Joe Biden? Do you think this makes Joe Biden, the push for him to jump into the race on this big decision, do you think this puts the clock on him even more?
I think if Hillary Clinton had absolutely bombed tonight, this would have certainly increased his pressure. Where it comes out right now, my general takeaway is that probably, isn't a chance that he's going to run. I think this sort of shows that he missed his opportunity for entering the debate stage. I think a lot of people are going to be more satisfied with Hillary Clinton. And the main kind of focal point for Biden entering the race would be the possibility that he would be able to establish himself as sort of the reasonable alternative to Hillary Clinton. And I think after tonight, if Hillary Clinton continues to deliver performances like these and continues to talk about the issues that she discussed this evening, we're probably going to lose the appetite to have sort of a, reasonable contender come out and try to, replace Hillary Clinton, particularly with the fact that, some of the huge sticking points for her, the notion that she only acts through political expediency, or her email scandal, were both, dealt with pretty expertly tonight.
Now that this debate's happened, and based on some of the stuff that we said, do you think some of the other candidates on the stage will drop out, like Jim Webb?
I don't necessarily see a path forward for Jim Webb. Lincoln Chafee, this was their introduction to the American people. They had not really, done much in the campaign trail to attract much attention beyond, posing as a almost Republican-like figure in the sense of Jim Webb, or, putting forward discussions about the metric system, which was Lincoln Chafee's claim to fame before tonight, which is now probably going to be marked as a, pretty poor candidate in general. So I would not be surprised to see the, field lowered after, some down after this. I think Jim Webb and Lincoln Chafee would probably be wise to, exit this. But, there's a sort of a desire on their part to certainly stay in. I think they tried to make some kind of a, form of fireworks tonight. I think they didn't get a chance to, so there may be a desire to, try to bring that home again next time. And also just back to the Biden issue, Debbie Wasserman Schultz was actually asked about that this evening in the spin room, and she did say that, she would welcome Biden entering the race. She said essentially that all it would do would essentially, create more interest in the Democratic field at large, and that she would, ultimately support that and be okay with that, and that she doesn't see any negative consequences coming for that. So that's just additional information from her.
Thank you so much, Justin Duckham from Las Vegas. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good one.
You too. He's in Vegas. How can he not have a good one? Hey, coming up, Kim Azzarelli, Power, Women, What Does It All Mean? She co-authored a book. She'll talk about that next.
Hi, Peter Vaccaro for ParanormalDate.com. Are you looking for love in all the wrong places? Now you have a chance to change that. by signing up for free at ParanormalDate.com. This incredible dating site puts people of like minds together. People who are interested in the strange, the unusual, mysteries, ghosts, UFOs, and the afterlife, and so much more. ParanormalDate.com was developed for you, people seeking a viable alternative to the other dating services. You can join for free by going to ParanormalDate.com, and if you decide you like it and want to connect with people, use the code GEORGE for a substantial discount. Mark Rawlings, president of ParanormalDate.com, says so many people hunger to share their experiences about the paranormal, the unexplainable, or the afterlife, and so much more, and this is the source for them to meet and share that common interest. So sign up for free at ParanormalDate.com, ParanormalDate.com, and use the code GEORGE if you decide to connect with someone you like.
We use mobile devices right against our bodies every day, but growing scientific evidence has emerged showing serious health risks associated with exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The solution is Defender Shield, the most effective mobile radiation shielding ever developed. Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation from cell phones, tablets, and laptops, and starts at just $64.99. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. For 10% off, use promo code GCN. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in mobile radiation shielding.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Go to GCNteam.com or call 855-GCN-MALL. That's 855-426-6255. GCNteam.com or 855-426-6255. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, I'm Rick Osick with Famous Footwear. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies? That's why we support the March of Dimes in the fight against premature birth. Join us in supporting cutting-edge research, treatment programs, and outreach to help moms have full-term pregnancies and healthy babies. Learn how you can help save babies' lives at marchofdimes.org.
I'm happy to announce that I have a brand new single that's just been released in Britain. And it's a song I'm very proud of because it was the first song I ever wrote that became a hit. It was my first number one. And the United Nations has declared 1975 to be International Women's Year. And they have chosen this song as their theme.
I think you know the one I mean.
Welcome back to America Tonight. You know, we're watching what's happening with Hillary Clinton, and she's a very polarizing figure. Some people really embrace her, and some people don't like Hillary Clinton. But the bottom line is, a lot of that has to do with power and females, and we're seeing that shift with CEOs, etc. So in whether it's politics or business or other walks of life, it's interesting to look at the female's role and how things have evolved and changed. Kim Azzarelli is with us. She's in our virtual green room, and she's co-authored a book called Fast Forward, How Women Can Achieve Power and Purpose. Kim, thanks for hanging with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
So first of all, when you go to interview people and you start to think of women, you go through the list in your mind, how did you decide who were the right people from business and politics and that kind of thing to pick out?
I mean, a lot of the folks that we interviewed were people that we've worked with over the years. I co-authored this book with Ambassador Milan Verveer, who was the first global ambassador for women. And between us, we've been working on these issues for a long, long time. And so we really picked people who we felt really represented, real progress in the world, but also, different countries, different geographies, and different socioeconomic strata.
Okay, so and in those interviews, you did you interviewed people like Sheryl Sandberg, and everybody knows her from her Facebook role and other things, and of course, Lean In, that book, and Madeleine Albright, who just made a little cameo appearance on a CBS show called Madam Secretary, which I thought was pretty clever. What was Madeleine Albright like? I met her once, just briefly, but we didn't have a lot of time to talk. What is she like?
Well, Madeleine's obviously an amazing woman leader who Milan has worked with for many, many years. I mean, she, for us, really, really represents how women are breaking through to first, obviously, first woman Secretary of State. And also this concept that, you know, women really need to be helping each other on the way up to lift as they climb, so to speak. And Madeleine really represents that well.
Yeah, has it been in the past? I've heard other women say this. I'm, besides broadcasting, I'm in the speaking business, and I've had other women speakers tell me, boy, I wish there were more women speakers, and I really push for that, but there's kind of a pushback to have, as, you know, female speakers, that it's much more common to have male speakers. Is that changing?
Yeah, I think we're at a very important moment, actually, right now, where we know that the data is sort of in. It's empirical that women are driving both economic and social progress. And, you know, we have a great report from McKinsey from a couple of weeks ago that basically says that if we closed the gender gap and we allowed women to participate, we would have something like $12 to $28 trillion of GDP growth worldwide by 2025. So it's very, you know, the evidence is in. We know that women being in leadership positions makes a huge difference for companies, for countries. And I think what's different about this moment is that leaders, men and women, are recognizing the real benefits of allowing women to fully participate. And so I do think there is a change happening.
And you talked to the women you talked to, you know, you did interviews with 70 women, and and it included like Diane von Furstenberg. It included,
yes,
the actress American Ferrara, who's just been tremendous and had a tremendous career. And what did you talk to them about? Did you ask them about their own power and realizing when they sort of had achieved that?
Yeah, I mean, the two that you just picked are just such great examples of women who have achieved notoriety and power and influence, but then wanted to use that for something bigger than themselves. So we say use their power for purpose. And I think Dionne is such a great example of someone who, you know, amazing career, you know, and amazing fame, and she could sort of just sort of live her life and not really care about giving back. But, you know, she is so driven by wanting to use her power to give a voice to what she calls the voiceless, or to other women who she feels that she can help through what she does every day, which is obviously design and fashion, but also through what she does with things like the DBF Awards, really giving you know, support and leadership and grants to women leaders around the world whom you haven't heard of. So I think Dionne's a great example. America's another great example, because a lot of what we've learned from this book is that as women ascend to power, they're increasingly using their power for purpose and sort of redefining what power looks like. And America is a great example, because what she really stands for in our mind is you can use whatever you have to affect change. So she became this amazing actress, and at a certain point, you know, 9/11 had happened, and she felt, well, really, what am I really doing for the world? And through her acting, she realized that she could really have an impact on people and be a role model for other Latina women and other women in general through her acting, and to get positive messages across. And so she's using her acting in a way that she feels can have make a big difference. And that's chronicled in the book as well.
Did you talk at all about how men feel about it? Are men embracing this idea a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, that's the other thing. We interviewed 70 leaders, and we say, you know, a lot of women and a few good men. But the reality is that there are men and women all over the world now, particularly men leaders, who are championing this issue. And as I mentioned earlier, there's this concept of the data. So Bob Zoellick of the World Bank has this great quote where he says, gender equality is smart economics. Or Muhtar Kent of Coca-Cola saying that women are the largest and fastest growing economic force in the world today. Or even Prime Minister Abe of Japan, who came to Davos, you know, the World Economic Forum, and said, listen, I can't grow the Japanese economy unless women get to participate equally. So men get it, and they recognize that it's not just the right thing to do, but it's also the smart thing to do. And so you see this whole sort of new way of thinking about women's issues as not women's issues, as human issues, and how women could be key to fast-forwarding to a better world for everybody.
Yeah, so in the book, too, you talk about how women can take the next step. What did you hear from the people that you interviewed? Any woman who picks up the book and reads, what can they do to improve the world and their circumstances?
Well, that's, for me, personally, the biggest takeaway from this whole experience, which is you don't have to be the CEO to have power, and you don't have to be a huge philanthropist to make an impact. I think the key takeaway for each person is that we each have to find our own power. We have to understand our own unique strengths and skills and understand where we sit, and then figure out what motivates us, what gives us that purpose, because the book really shows us through interviews with people like Dr. Ebi Elahi, who was a surgeon who came back from Cambodia and really changed a lot of people's perspectives on how they could use what they have. So you have to think about what you have, find your purpose, because we know purpose is the thing that really gives you life satisfaction long term, more than happiness. There's this great professor of happiness at Harvard called Dr. Gilbert. He basically says, he echoes a lot of the research, which says if you get outside of yourself and you help other people, it really adds to life satisfaction. So he says, go volunteer at a homeless shelter. You may not help the homeless, but you're definitely going to help yourself. So for each woman, it's to know your own power, find your purpose, what gives you meaning, what motivates you, and then connect with like-minded people who give you the energy, because life isn't always easy. You know, you have to, every day can be hard, but if you find like-minded people who share your purpose, then from wherever you sit, you can make a difference. And not only does it change the world outside, but it changes, you know, the world inside you as well, because you start to see your life from through a different perspective. And I think for me, that's the most important takeaway from this book, which is it's not about being a CEO. Yes, we want more women leaders at all levels, but for each of us, wherever we sit, we can make a difference, and we can change the way we look at the world, and we can change the way the world then basically operates going forward.
I love it. We're speaking with Kim Azzarelli and the book she co-authored, How Women Can Achieve Power and Purpose. Did you have a favorite interview? I know that's hard with as many people that you interviewed.
That is hard. I mean, it's really hard for me to pick. I mean, I think my favorite, well, one, talking about this week, we had the ESPNW conference, and I think one great example from a corporate perspective is Laura Gentile, who really made the case for women and girls at ESPN to show that why ESPN should really invest in ESPNW and why girls love sports and why women in leadership positions. 94% of C-suite women leaders say that they've participated in sports in some way. So I think that's a great example. But, I mean, then there's, you know, examples from all over the world, from Africa. I mean, the interviews were amazing. But, again, for me, the big takeaway is that all these women and men leaders feel that purpose is important. And to put purpose as part of your work creates a whole different trajectory for your life and for your career. And I think, you know, what we learned also is that it's not just women who want purpose in their work or purpose in their lives. Millennials are demanding it. 60% of millennials say that they want to work for a company that has purpose. So this whole question of life, work-life balance and sort of what are we really trying to achieve, I think why it's so important for women leaders to be part of the conversation is because they're looking at success maybe slightly differently. And I think both men and women want that.
Yeah, well said. I mean, it sounds like you could even do a part two. Is there any plans to do another book? You could interview probably 70 more women.
Yeah, I mean, I think for me, it's what's really interesting. I think what we really all need to think about, and a part two would be really more focusing on this concept of purpose and why each of us really needs to rethink how we define success for ourselves, because we're so used to seeing certain models of success. And frankly, they might be a little outdated at this point. And Dr. Elahi, he talks about, you know, having this larger arc of purpose, which then the day-to-day episodes of your life become sort of dusty storms. And when you have that larger purpose, you know, it really helps you frame what your life is about.
I agree with you. I think that's what happens. We get caught up in the day-to-day, no doubt about it. Kim Azzarelli, the book is called Fast Forward, How Women Can Achieve Power and Purpose. Pick it up. Thanks so much for joining us on the show.
Yeah, and also we can learn more at SenecaWomen.com.
I love it. Great. Thank you so much. You were terrific.
Thank you so much.
Are you tired of commuting to a job that makes someone else rich, working harder than ever, but getting nowhere? Do you hate spending hundreds of dollars every week on daycare, having someone else raise your children? With our opportunities, you can start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss, work from home, and live a happier life. At Be the Boss Network, you'll find hundreds of work-from-home opportunities that you can literally start today and be earning money as soon as next week. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You get to be the boss. Get out of the rat race. Work from home. Go to freedom106.com right now and change your life today. That's freedom, the number 106.com. Go to freedom106.com and start earning money as soon as next week. You be the boss. Go to freedom106.com.